Hello, I'll be reading a section of Anita Loos's Gentlemen Prefer Blondes. The section I'm reading begins on page 92. May 30th. Well, last night, Mr. Spofford and I took quite a long ride in the park, but they do not call it a park in the Viennese language, but they call it the Prater. So a Prater is really divine, because it is just like Coney Island, but at the same time, it is in the woods, and it is practically full of trees, and it has quite a long road for people to take rides on in a horse and buggy. So I found out that Miss Chapman has been talking against me quite a lot. So it seems that she has been making inquiries about me, and I was really surprised to hear all the things that Miss Chapman seemed to find out about me, except that she did not find out about Mr. Eisman educating me. So then I had to tell Mr. Spofford that I was not always so reformed as I am now, because the world was full of gentlemen who were nothing but wolves in sheep's clothes that did nothing but take advantage of all we girls. So I really cried quite a lot. So then I told him how I was just a little girl from Little Rock when I first left Little Rock, and by that time even Mr. Spofford had tears in his eyes. So I told him how I came from a very, very good family, because Papa was very intellectual, and he was a very, very prominent elk, and everybody always said that he was a very intellectual elk. So I told Mr. Spofford that when I left Little Rock, I thought that all of the gentlemen did not want to do anything but protect we girls, and by the time I found out that they did not want to protect us so much, it was too late. So then he cried quite a lot. So then I told him how I finally got reformed by reading all about him in the newspapers, and when I saw him in the Oriental Express, it really seemed to be nothing but the result of fate. So I told Mr. Spofford that I thought a girl was really more reformed if she knew what it was to be unreformed than if she was born reformed and never really knew that was the matter with her. So then Mr. Spofford reached over and he kissed me on the forehead in a way that was full of reverence, and he said I seemed to remind him quite a lot of a girl who got quite a write-up in the Bible, who was called Magdalene. So then he said that he used to be a member of the choir himself, so who was he to cast the first rock at a girl like I? So we rode round in the Prater until it was quite late, and it really was divine because it was moonlight, and we talked quite a lot about morals, and the band in the Prater were all playing in the distance Mama Love Papa, because Mama Love Papa has just reached Vienna, and they all seem to be crazy about Mama Love Papa, even if it is not so new in America. So then he took me home to the hotel. So everything always works out for the best, because this morning Mr. Spofford called up and told me he wanted me to meet his mother. So I told him I would like to have luncheon alone with his mother, because we could have quite a little tête-à-tête if there was only two of us. So I told him to bring his mother to our room for luncheon, because I thought that Miss Chapman could not walk into our room and spoil everything. So he brought his mother down to our sitting room, and I put on quite a simple little organdy gown that I had ripped all of the trimming off of, and I had a pair of black lace mitts that Dorothy used to wear in the Follies, and I had a pair of shoes that did not have any heels on them. So he introduced us to each other. I dropped our curtsy, because I always think it is quite quaint when a girl drops quite a lot of curtsies. So then he left us alone, and we had quite a little talk, and I told her that I did not seem to like all of the flappers that we seem to have nowadays, because I was brought up to be more old-fashioned. So then Mr. Spofford's mother told me that Miss Chapman said that she had heard that I was not so old-fashioned. But I told her that I was so old-fashioned that I was always full of respect for all of my elders, and I would not dare to tell them everything they ought to do, like Miss Chapman seems to tell her everything she ought to do, for instance. So then I ordered luncheon, and I thought some champagne would make her feel quite good for luncheon, so I asked her if she liked champagne. So she really likes champagne very, very much, but Miss Chapman thinks it is not so nice for a person to drink liquor. But I told her that I was a Christian Science, and all of we Christian Science seem to believe that there cannot really be any harm in anything, so how can there be any harm in a small-sized bottle of champagne? So she never seemed to look at it in quite that kind of light before, because she said that Miss Chapman believed in Christian Science also, but Miss Chapman believed about things that were good for you to drink seemed to apply more towards water. So then we had luncheon, and she began to feel very, very good. So I thought that we had better have another bottle of champagne, because I told her that I was such an ardent Christian Science that I did not even believe that there could be any harm in two bottles of champagne. So we had another bottle of champagne, and she became very intrigued about Christian Science, because she said that she really thought it was a better religion than Presbyterians. So she said Miss Chapman used to try to get her to use it on things, but Miss Chapman never seemed to have such a large-sized grasp of the Christian Science religion as I seem to have. So then I told her that I thought Miss Chapman was jealous of her good looks. So then she said that that was true, because Miss Chapman would always make her wear hats that were made out of black horse's hair, because horse's hair does not weigh so much on a person's brain. So I told her I was going to give her one of my hats that has got quite a large size roses on it. So then I got it out, but we could not get it on her head, because hats are quite small on account of hair being bobbed. So I thought I would get the scissors and bob her head, but then I thought I had done enough to her for one day. So Henry's mother said I was really the most sunshine she had ever had in all her life, and when Henry came back to take his mother up to her room, she did not want to go. But after he got her away, he called me up on the telephone, and he was quite excited, and he said he wanted to ask me something that was very, very important. So I said I would see him tonight. But now I have got to see Mr. Eisman, because I have an idea about doing something that is really very, very important that has got to be done at once.